Well, sometimes you have to get called to talk and you come up with a theme, a title. Mine was Looks Like Rain. How pathetic, or was it prophetic, that was. I got to a point yesterday morning. I woke up. I had no idea what I was going to speak about. I'd been seeking God, asking Him, praying, chucking out my ideas, and God just blanked me. And yesterday morning, I said, what am I speaking? It looks like rain. So I went into my chest of drawers next to my bed. I have this. This is a hooded poncho. It's like a Packamack. I bought this in 2005 when I was in Florida, and I've had it with me all the time. I've not undone it because I'm never sure I can get it back in here. But this is always with it. When I'm in bed, it sits in the third drawer down on my chest of drawers. I wouldn't be without it. Not much good, really, is it? Cost me a dollar. I've offered it to people since. So, now, and I've had over the years many golf umbrellas. I don't play golf, but I've been given them. So about 3 years ago, Louise and I had a big sort out, and we threw most of these umbrellas away. And then 2 years ago, we're in the middle to the south of France, going through a heat wave, in the Lot region. You know where I'm going there, don't you, the Lot region? It's where they make umbrellas. Aurillac is the county town, the capital of the region, and they make umbrellas. So Louise and I, on holiday in the heat, we both bought ourselves a special umbrella. Louise got a lovely pink one with a wooden handle, and I bought this. You ever watch the Crocodile Dundee film? You know when he gets the two hoodlums come up to try and nick his money, and one's got a knife. And if you know the story, Crocodile Dundee is from the outback of Australia, and he pulls out this dirty great knife. He said, "That's not a knife, this is a knife." And it's a bit like with this. You know, I had over the years, I've had many fold-up umbrellas. And the problem is I buy them, because I used to have them when I was abroad or in London working, visiting clients, and my kids would borrow them. And I've never seen them come back. And I bought this really nice one, and my daughter borrowed it, and I've never seen it since. And they go, "Oh, we lost it." And kids have this thing, they say, "I'll buy you another one." They say, "Have you got another one I can borrow?" But this is quite unique. So normally a fold-up umbrella is about a foot square. This is the double mechanism fold-up umbrella. It's quite difficult to get out of the bag, as you can see. I'm getting it. Just okay. Let me just work this out. It's that button there. That's an umbrella, isn't it? What a boring lot you are. That is pretty impressive, that. I'm told you should never open umbrellas inside a... I'm quite happy to do that. Quite happy to. But it's quite... And the thing is, I've only ever used it once in 2 years. It's like I've got myself a bus pass. You know, when I got to 66 and I'm a pensioner, and Louise won't let me use it. She's admitting we might have COVID. So we're going to London this week for 3 or 4 days, getting a break. So I said, "Louise, I'll be able to go on the buses." So she said, "Well, I won't." I said, "You'll just have to run, won't you? And follow." But rain, I mean, it looks like rain, but it's slowed down now. And of course, rain takes many forms. I mean, if you're not English, you won't understand it, but we have lots of sayings in rain. As right as rain. As right as rain it is. Be as right as rain. Be rained off. Be rained out. Come rain or shine, we say. We're going to get on with it. I'll take a rain check. What does that mean, I'll take a rain check? You look out the window and say it's not raining. It never rains, but it pours. It's raining cats and dogs. Another one is it's raining pitchforks, or it's raining hammers handles. Have you used those ones? Yep. And rain on someone's parade. And yet, rain is so important because it provides water. The problem is, being English, that's all I ever talk about. Now, Gary's from Wales. I went to work in Wales to do a six-month contract, and it never stopped raining. It was flooded. It never stopped raining. That's why God put the valleys there. It could channel the water, wasn't it, Gary? Is that right, Gary? It must have been a Wednesday. It always rained. And about, you know, a third of the earth are covered in deserts where there's no water. And you and I need water to survive. We can survive for a few weeks without food, but only a few days without water. Did you know rats will look out for water first and food second? so they can find a nice seed barn next to a river, they are made. They seek out water first. And yet millions in this world live in parched lands where there's not much water. And do you know, 60% of your body weight is water. Your brain is 70% water. Somebody says you're pretty wet or you're drip. It's because your brain is made up basically of water. So technically they're right. And lungs are nearly 90% water. And water lubricates our body. Cushions lubricates the joints. It nourishes and protects the brain, the spinal cord and other tissues. It keeps our body temperatures normal and helps remove waste through perspiration, bowel movements and urination. Just to get that out of the way. But you can only live about 1 week without any water. But you can survive without food for a month. And in this country, we take it for granted. Now, the wettest point in this country, as you will have guessed, is in Wales. Snowdonia has an average of 176 inches a year. For those of metric, 4,473 millilitres. Has been every year for the past 30 years. It is a wet country. It's no wonder the Welsh move out. Is it not, Gary? Now, to give you an idea, in England it's surprisingly dry. London only receives about 25.6 inches. It's less rain than Rome, Sydney, and New York City. Did you know that? And in East Anglia, where we are, typically, we only have 113 days of rain. Under about a third of our year is rain. Who would have believed that? Where do I get these figures from? That can't be right. And the most of the southeast has about 27 inches. The English counties of Essex, Cambridgeshire, as well as parts of Yorkshire, Suffolk and Norfolk, are amongst the driest in the UK. The driest. In some years, rainfall totals in Essex have fallen below 17 inches. There was a time about 20 years ago when we had under 12 inches of rain and they actually banned car washing in Essex. I didn't shower for 6 months. You know, you were banned from using water. You couldn't use garden hoses. And technically, if you're under 12 inches of rain per year, you are classified as a desert. So Essex was classified as a desert, like the Sahara. Who would have thought it? We live in the promised land in Essex, in England, part of the United Kingdom. And so my thought is about water. And there's a lovely passage in the Bible I want to look at, is Isaiah 55. When I prepared this talk, I got to desperation yesterday. I said, God, you give me nothing. He said, well, go and find one of your old talks. Now, I don't like getting my old talks. I really don't like doing that. So I started going back about 15 years, and I found this talk. God said, that's the one. He said, but you've got to rewrite it so that it becomes your talk for today. So I spent yesterday rewriting the whole of this talk, redoing new scriptures and things like that. And I thought, I've got it, done the PowerPoint, done the Word, done the PDF, put the video in, happy. Got into bed, turned the light off, and I said to God, I've got a problem with this talk I've done, because when I go through this spiel, how do I get to the passage I've chosen next? And nothing. I wrestled all night. At 4:32, I woke up with this voice saying, you need to move the last passage to the first, and that solves your problem, Barry. I said, but God, that's how it was originally when I wrote it 20 years ago. Yeah, well, just put it back and you'll be okay. And I thought, so I got up early because it was light, and I redid it all and jigged it all. And it struck me, this passage of Isaiah 55, because I remembered many years ago, I went to Spring Harvest. We took a whole bunch from the church. And on this particular occasion, we went a few times, this particular woman in the church at the time, she had issues about, can I have a chat with you? I've got problems. So I said, okay. So we walked around the whole of the Spring Harvest site for about an hour, and she told me where she was in her life and the problems she was having. And I felt God say to me, I said, read Isaiah 54 and 55. I think you'll find them encouraging. Patted her on the head and let her go on her way, knowing that I'd met her need. Next morning, I go to, they had a Bible study group, and they were doing meditation, meditating on the name of Jesus. Louise stayed back at the chalet, she wasn't quite well. So I went to this thing, and we had a great time. And at the end of it, they said, right, wait until now, is close your eyes, and just think about the name Jesus in your life. What does Jesus mean to you? So I closed my eyes, And I heard God say, "You don't understand those passages, Barry." I said, "Who?" Now, I call her Mary. "Mary," I said, "you're going to have to explain them to her." So I said, "Lord, I'm trying to meditate on the name of Jesus here." And so I started to meditate, and God said again, "You need to explain to Mary what those two chapters mean to her." So I said, "Okay, Lord, if when I go back to the chalet, she's sitting there with Louise, I'll do it." Knowing full well, it was a 1 in 100 chance. And so I tried to meditate, and this kept coming through all the time for the next 10 minutes. As I walked back to the chalet, there was the door open. And there I could see Mary sitting there talking to Louise. I'm quick. I went, "Is this it, Lord?" I walked to the door. I said, "Hello, Mary. How are you?" "I've got a problem," she says. I said, "What's that?" "I don't understand those passages you gave me." And so I'm here today to explain the passages to you. But I'm just going to pick on a few verses, because God uses water in many times in the Bible. So, sound is turned on, I take it. Media teams, all ready to go. Good. There's no battery in this. Turned off. Oh, it's come on now, after turning off and on. Okay, water. We've done that. Right, this is what it says in Isaiah 55, verse 8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, I do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." And it really just struck me, these verses, that God speaks into my life. And the thing about water is, you will have noticed, we've got a bowl here. We have a leak. Only ever happens in the end of October, November. No other time. It's where water somehow travels down, goes down, finds a hole, and it always comes down here. It's been up there for, within 30 years ago, first year of doing this extension, it started. But water seeps. Water gets into everywhere. And I'm thinking, that's what I want God's word to do, to seep into my life, to creep into every crevice and take over me. So I thought, this is great. And I came up with these scriptures. This is what Jesus says about interpreting the events. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. "Don't we all want a sign from heaven? Who God is?" He replied, "When evening comes, you say, 'It be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning today, 'It will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast.' You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the land. The wild animals honour me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, for they proclaim my praise." And here's God talking not just about a physical drink, but a spiritual drink. Because if you read Isaiah 55, it talks about those who are thirsty, come to God and be quenched. A thirst-quenching water that satisfies. Personally, I'm not a fan of water. In a sense, I could put orange juice in it or blackcurrant. I find it quite bland. But I have to have so many litres. The consequence of not drinking. Some years ago, I had to do a drive up from the south of France, 600 miles in one day. I didn't get much to drink. The next day I suffered with dehydration. And it was awful. I collapsed. It was like a torch. You turn me on, I'd sit up for about a minute, then went down. And the doctors couldn't explain it. And all they did was pump me full of stuff. But here God is saying, you and I need to have water, physical water, and spiritual water in our lives. And the thing is, how does that happen? Because I don't know about you, life is quite difficult. It gets in the way of my spiritual life. When I say that, there are events that take over, illnesses in my family. Louise is at home with no voice. She's got a sore throat. Now, I know a lot of men pray for the wives to have a sore throat, but I don't, and she can't speak. It is so sad. I'm so upset she can't speak to me and tell me things. But the thing is, I have issues and times of problems in my family when there's illnesses. Relationship problems. I've lost my job a couple of times, been made redundant, going through that experience of life, of difficulty with friends. I go through challenges that I have not prepared for. Last year, going through cancer. Nothing prepared me when my father died, the first of my parents and in-laws. I only learn about these things, and these things, to be honest, find it difficult for me in my walk with God. I question so much of why God's things. It says in Proverbs, it's there. To humans belongs the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. Interesting that. We can make plans in our heart, but what comes out of our mouth can be something different. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. And just one quick verse from Proverbs. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. And I was thinking this when I was looking yesterday about my own life. When I was 20, what did I expect? Well, I thought I'd retire at 65. Louise thought she'd retire at 60. Well, that got thrown out the window by the government, moved the dates, particularly for women. I thought I'd have this established, that established. I never thought, when I talked to my consultant this week, because I've still got a very small count of cancer. He said, it's not even worth worrying about. You know, my count was 20 when I had count, and it's 0.04. So it's a minute number. He said, but it could come back. I went, oh, great. How can I have prostate cancer coming back when I haven't got a prostate? But suddenly you think, I am in the realities of life. Louise has an expression she uses very often nowadays when I tell about they've got this problem. She said, well, that's life, isn't it? Especially as you get older, you realize that your bodies are frailer. I've been decorating this week and I've got aches. I've got a problem in my muscle here. I pulled my back. And you suddenly realize life has not turned out as perhaps as I thought and planned. And I've gone to, you know, I had jobs. I got made redundant a couple of times with unexpected, but God provided. And I think, surely, Lord, you could have done a different way. We lost our first child as a miscarriage, had a child, lost a second child, then had a healing to have a third. And you go, Lord, why? Why did you take me through those journeys? Because they were not easy. I want to play you a video. And I apologize now because I will cry during this video. I showed Dave for the first time this morning and he bawled his eyes out, did you not? I find it so moving. It's quite. So we could dim the lights, do you think? Oh. Oh, good point. We're near the end of the. Let me come back. I just started halfway through. That is something wrong with the video. Because it's starting halfway through. Right, we're going to see if we can start this manually. Now we've gone right to the end. Right, we'll have to leave that then. Right. And this is the verse that this morning I was looking at. Right. Now we're up to 5:05 in the morning. 5 minutes past five. And this is one of those verses I've never really understood. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And it strikes me is that it's great in hindsight. When you've gone through a problem, in hindsight you go, oh, I can see how God taught me things during that. But supposing there is no time for hindsight. Supposing you develop an illness which you take to your grave, where's the hindsight to understand that? And I was thinking of things in that video. It's the songs "Blessed Be the Name," "Blessed Be the Lord," and people give their testimonies. One person has lost his job and can't get work. Another one's just passed their university degree and they're rejoicing. Another woman says, "I can never be pregnant," and each of them starts singing the words. Another man has been an addict since he's 13. He's now in his 30s. He's been clear since. Another woman shares how her child died at the age of 9. And each of them bless the Lord in the song, in the video. They say, I can still bless the Lord despite those circumstances. And I'm thinking about, how do you cope? How do you cope? Because life is not that time of all blessing. I mean, I listen to people say, you know, oh, God's told me you're going to have a wonderful, God's going to use you, you're going to have a wonderful life. And I go, well, I've gone through life, parts of my life, which have been awful, which have been really hard. And I know God sustained me as I came out the other side. I can remember when I didn't work for a year, and God provided dramatically. And I remember at the end of the year when I got a job, this person said, came to church and said, I bet you could do that all over again, couldn't you? I said, no, it was awful. Yeah, but God provided. I know he did, but it was really hard. I said, the day I got that job, I'd applied for 25 jobs that week. 25 jobs. Rejected, rejected, rejected. God provided financially. But it was really hard because it hit my self-esteem. And we all have those experiences in life. And how does this work then? We all know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Good. Good. And as I reflect on this morning at 5:10, I went back to Easter. And I was thinking of Easter. I thought, Good Friday. Good Friday is the day where Jesus is sentenced to death. Jesus is tortured by being whipped. Jesus carries his cross to Calvary. Jesus is nailed to the cross and dies cruelly. God blackens out the sky. And that is called Good Friday. Now, I understand Easter Sunday, that's good. That's great, that's awesome. But to call it Good Friday, it's one of those days I cannot be happy, in the sense that it's so poignant what my Saviour went through for me. Why call it good? The problem is, it's an old English word. And if you go back, it means holy. Holy Friday. And that made sense. It's a very holy day. It's one of those events where almost like heaven opens up and heaven touches earth. There's that slot where the two touch earth and heaven. When Christ went to the cross and saved me when I called on his name. And as I looked at this, I thought, all things work for good for those who trust in the Lord. The translation of all things work for holiness for those who trust in the Lord. Now, this is theologically, and those who study Greek, that is not the translation. But when I put that into that this morning, put for all those work for good, holiness. That in those situations I've been going through where I struggled, God says I can be holy in those difficult situations. I remember talking to Sue Taylor when she was in hospital a few years back. And she, as you know, she's got a disease which is disability where she's making it worse to walk. And I said to her, do you want me to pray for healing for you? She said, no. I said, why? I've learned so much about God through my illness. I felt about half inch tall. I found I've come so close to God in my illness, I don't want to lose that. And I think about, Lord, even my last year, I learned so much. Part of me says I'd like COVID to continue. Not, I know it's an awful thing and people die, but I've learned so much about my personal journey with God. And the idea that God speaks into my life, into my situation. He doesn't remove me from the situations my neighbours who don't know God go through as well. When Moses saw the burning bush, he walked up to it. God said, take off your shoes for you're standing on holy ground. He didn't say, come forward and take off your shoes because you're now in holy ground. You're standing on holy ground. He came into the presence of God and it was holy. You and I, says the Bible, when you gave your life to Christ and accepted him as personal for Savior, forgiveness of your sins, it says the Holy Spirit came in. You therefore are holy ground. You therefore are holy ground. And that pushes my mind. Lord, in those circumstances which I struggled with as a young man and through my life, I don't understand why you did these things, Lord. And God has taught me, I don't necessarily remove those from situations, but I enable you to cope in those situations. I don't necessarily remove you from the situations, I enable you to cope with you with those situations. All things work for my holiness, for those who trust in God. No matter what situation you or I find ourselves in, we can still be holy in that situation because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your lives. Yes, I've seen God heal people. I've seen the blind have their eyesight given back. I did an exorcism at a flat on Friday with a person. And I said to the woman there, I said, watch your dog. Watch what your dog does as we start praying around the rooms. And this dog was getting a bit, first of all, and came. When we got to the end, he just sat down next to me. She said, I've never seen my dog so calm. I said, these animals sense the Spirit of God. And this dog just changed. Whereas it was a bark, he just sat next to me. She said, I've never seen it so calm. When we're in the presence of the Holy Spirit, we are holy. The problem is, life gets in the way. Illnesses, bad relationships with our family, concern for our children or our parents. It is part of life that we're not immune from. And yet sometimes here we say, well, we just pray about it, it all will go away. I pray. Is it my prayers aren't being answered? I'm not immune from life. I thank the Lord when I go to heaven, I'm going to get a new body. 6'2", blonde, a nice six pack. I've got it all worked out. I've got a designer body worked out. But I'm so pleased because my body is corrupted by the sin, the original sin. And so when it says in Psalm 139, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. I love that. Are we not always anxious about something? Always worrying about something? Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I can actually say that to God, for me personally, because I know I'm not under condemnation. Because of my Jesus saved me. And we all have water leaks. You can get special pants for that. I was going to bring a pair with me, but I realised I'd throw them all away. I had that after my operation, that it wasn't required. And we can leak in the wrong sense, you know, because God puts things in our lives and it just leaks away. But on the other side of it, we're supposed to be leakers. As God puts into your life those words, as God puts you in situations, we want them to leak out because they testify how God has kept us through those situations. It's not about hindsight living in, it's living the reality of the corrupt world we live in. And I'm not frightened of saying to God, search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. He'll find faults more than you'll find in me. He'll find the faults, but I know he'll help resolve them and work them through with me. I want to finish on this particular scripture. Now my pad has stopped working. I came to the conclusion this morning. Sharon has got a big migraine, so Dave rang up at 8 o'clock saying she can't do the worship. So I offered to do it, thinking I've got to do the worship, also on the door. And everything's been in chaos this morning. And now my tablet doesn't work. The devil doesn't want you to hear the message, that's quite evident. Because I want to say this morning, God knows you. This is what it says in Psalm, that continues at Psalm 139. You see all things, God. You see all things, Father. Nothing about me was hidden from you as it took shape in secret, carefully crafted in the heart of the earth before I was born from its womb. You see all things. You saw me growing, changing in my mother's womb. Every detail of my life was already written in your book. You established the length of my life before I ever tasted the sweetness of it. I went to a wedding 2 weeks ago, and I met John's sister, John Mabry, Elizabeth Taylor. Not the Elizabeth Taylor, but the Elizabeth Taylor. And she had a cancerous tumour last year, taken out, and all things are fantastic. And I said to her, how did you cope? What encouraged you? She said, that scripture says, God knows my days. And I said, do you know, it's the same one that kept me. That God knows my days. And if he knows my days, he's going to make sure I hit that time. I have no idea what condition I will be in when I come to die. I have no condition what this last quarter of my life will be. I have natural fears as I get older. Bits of my body will fail. I don't know what. I don't mind dying. It's just the vehicle I go in. I don't mean the hearse, but the illness that finally takes me. I have those natural fears. Even though as an elder I'm supposed to be all spiritual, I do have those natural fears. But within my heart, I trust God. What comes out my mouth may not be quite the same, but in this, I do trust God. Because he said it. And if he knows my days and mapped out, he knows I'm going to take wrong journeys. And some of my plans have not turned out the way I wanted it. And perhaps I made plans that weren't of God. But as my wife says to me, that's life, Barry. I'm not immune. But where the difference between me and my neighbour is, and you, I've accepted Jesus Christ as personal saviour. I have the Holy Spirit within me, and I can call God Father. And you may say, well, as a father, he'd want you to be well all the time. I want my kids to be well all the time. My new little granddaughter, 5, is quite ill. So they rang 111. Your high priority will get back to you. 18 hours later, we phoned them up again. Yeah, still a high priority. We'll get back to you. She's poorly. Her mum's poorly. Her dad's poorly. And we start to worry as parents. But it is life. And we'll pray. And we'll support them. But I can't remove them from what is the original sin that's changed this world. The sin of my life is removed before God because of Jesus Christ. But the consequences of that original sin does affect. Where are you at? It's not an upbeat talk this morning. It's a reflective talk. We're going to go back to worship. I want to suggest something to you. If you want prayer this morning, I'm just going to sit over there. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front if you want to talk and if you want to pray. There's Mark around, there's Dave around, there's others around, there's Gary and Sue. And if you feel you just want to sit with somebody, hold their hand and have a prayer, don't feel you're on your own. You are not on your own. You might even just want to turn to the person next to you and say, can you just pray for me? You don't need to go through all the details. You can say, Lord, I just say I need prayer. And invariably I'll pray the same prayer every time over you. That you have the peace and the presence of God. The peace of God that passes understanding man. And you recognize the presence of God in your life. And that's what we need. When I go through my issues the last 60 years of being on this earth or longer, I realize the times when I cried out to God. And I went through a situation where I know he just carried me. And you all, I think most of you have gone through a situation like that. Search me, God, and know me. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. I'm not frightened of coming to my dad and say, can you fix it? He doesn't always do it as I'd want. But I know he heard my prayer and will help me during the crisis I find myself in. I was going to pray. I'm going to sit over there near Dave. So if you just want to chat to somebody to hold your hand and just pray over you, Mark, I, Dave, any others, we're welcome to do it. Or just the person next to you. Lord, looks like rain. It's poured down. Most of my life, Lord, has just been light showers. And I can see them coming. But Lord, there sometimes has been torrential rain and I've hardly struggled to stay afloat. Treading water seemed hard looking back. But I know, Lord, you never left me. I see how much you taught me through some of those circumstances. And there were times, Lord, I look back when I doubted you. I questioned the reality of being a Christian. I found it hurtful. Almost at times, Lord, I found it spiteful of why you allow these things. But now I've grown. I've learnt more about you. Nothing is spiteful because in that holiness of the relationship with you, something happens. Earth is opened up, Lord, when I cry to you and you come down and you do amazing things. And Lord, at times I don't know what to say to you. Do I say a 20-minute prayer or just 3 words? But I'm thankful for 3 things, Lord. The Bible says, you, Lord Jesus, will speak on my behalf to the Father. You, Holy Spirit, will, in your language, groan to the Father on my behalf. And it says, Father, you, God, you, Father, you know what's on my heart before I even speak it out of my lips. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so thankful that you catch my tears when I struggle. But I thank you, Lord, that you are my sovereign and you are my Lord. I have my doubts, my fears, but you never reject me. You never push me to one side. You never say you're not good enough or worthy enough. You just squeeze my hand spiritually and I know you're there. There are times I feel alone, but I know it's because I turn my back on you. There are times, Lord, where I don't listen to you because I don't want to hear what you're going to say. The times when I go in a corner and cry, yet I know I'm sitting on your lap. And I pray for each one of us, whatever situation we find ourselves in, we'll feel your arm around us. We'll feel you squeeze our hand and know that you're there. And that may come directly from you, Lord, or through one of us here. Just being there in our time of need. But I just thank you, Father. I know life stinks at times, if I may use that phrase. I go through things I'm not prepared for, I've never had experience of, nobody's taught me, I don't know what to do or what to say, but I know my life is your life. I'm your son and we are sons and daughters of you. And you're the type of dad that's not absent, that doesn't give up, that doesn't walk away, that doesn't run away, hasn't got enough money in the wallet, but a God who cares. And is always there when I've needed you. And I thank you, Lord. Amen. Gary.